Amen? Yes. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, of whom I preach, crucified, sanctified, and risen. The Lord be with you guys. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for this message today, this reminder today, Father God, that we can only receive your Spirit through your Spirit and your wisdom through your Spirit. And we give you all the praise and glory for that, Father. Thank you for everyone gathered here today, Father. And we pray that you open our hearts and minds to receive this message, this message that has been set forth from the beginning of time, the message of salvation, the message of grace, and the message of the gospel. Father, we pray that those who couldn't be here today, that you bless them, Father, and that they're okay and thinking about you wherever they may be. Father, we thank you for every opportunity you give us, Lord, to be an example, to be a walking testimony of what you can do in our lives. In Jesus' most holy name we pray, amen and amen. All right. And that's what the sermon's all about today, amen. It's a testimony of the Spirit. And as believers in Christ, we all have a testimony. Amen? We all have a testimony to give. Years ago, there was a young man that had just gotten out of Bible college where he'd spent several years learning all the theological terminology that he thought would make him a successful preacher. Apparently, he went to a free Lutheran Bible college, too. I wonder where that's at, but... But if I find out, I'll let anybody know you want to become a preacher. Amen? So he had just been hired, okay, at a country church, and he was determined to begin bringing people, new people to Christ. Okay? He was on fire for the Lord. Amen? So he set out to win his first soul for the Lord in the community. And he came upon a farmer busily working in his field, and not sure if the man was a Christian or not, he asked him, "Are you laboring in the vineyard of the Lord, my good man?" And the farmer didn't even look up. He said, "Nah, these are soybeans, not grapes." Amen? All right? And realizing that he asked the wrong question, he said, "You don't understand what I'm asking you. Are you a Christian?" And with the same amount of disinterest as his previous answer, the farmer said, "Nope, my name is Jones. You must be looking for Jim Christian. He lives about a mile down the road." Amen? Undaunted and determined, the young preacher tried to ask him again. He said to the farmer, "Are you lost?" And the farmer said, "Nope, I've lived here all my life." He said, "Are you prepared for the resurrection?" The frustrated preacher said, "Amen? Are you prepared for the resurrection?" And this caught the farmer's attention finally, and he asked, "Okay, when's it going to be?" The young preacher smiled and he replied. He said, "It could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be the next day." And taking a handkerchief from his back pocket, he wiped his brow, and the farmer remarked in a monotone voice, he said, "Well, I'm terribly busy with the harvest right now, so I'd appreciate it if you didn't mention it to my wife. She don't get out much, and if she hears about it, she's going to want to go all 3 days." Yeah. Amen? All right. You got the 3 days right, right? Well, this young preacher who was delivering a message, okay, of the testimony of Jesus Christ, he was delivering a great message. Amen? A great message. And just as any gospel message should be, when we recognize the resurrection of our Savior. Amen? Because that's what it's all about. Amen? That is what the resurrection of our Savior. So now when we speak the testimony of the gospel message and how it has impacted our lives, we call that a testimony, okay? We call that a testimony. Whether you're in CR or not, it's still a testimony of your life, amen? And whether you know it or not, as a believer, we all have a testimony, okay? I don't care if it's only been a week. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've been delivered from something. Or maybe you've been delivered from a lot of things. Amen? but you are a living testimony, an example of what Christ can do. Now, not everyone's going to receive that testimony well, but we'll never know until we give that testimony, okay? So we must give that testimony, and we're going to talk about different ways we can do that as well. But our first verse, Paul says, "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I didn't come with eloquence or with human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God." You see, today's text is about a testimony of the Spirit of God. Now, the three main parts of a Christian's testimony should be, who were you before Christ? Amen? Who were you before Christ was in your life? Second, how did Jesus change your life? How did he change your life? And thirdly, how are you different now because of him? Right? How are you different now? Now, the here's who I am now, okay, how am I different now, is different for all of us. Amen? We're all a work in progress, okay? And we all have our own personal walk, our own relationship with the Lord, right? We can't expect other people to keep up or slow down, amen? We all have our own personal walk. But the point is that as believers, people should see a clear difference in our lives. Amen? People should be able to tell if you're a believer or not. They should see the light of Christ in you. But they should also see it in how we treat others. Amen? And hear it in the way we talk. Right? There should be no foul language coming out of our mouths. Amen? Especially when we're testifying about God. They should be able to tell in our speech that we're believers. Paul said in the first verse, he said, "As I proclaim to you the testimony about God." Now, the testimony about God and who he is and what he's done is on every page of the Bible. Amen? That testimony is on every page. All right? And it starts out great. Amen? It starts out great with God's creation, a beautiful Garden of Eden, right? Right? But because of the devil, right there, if you don't see him, right there, okay? Things are going to soon start to change, and sin is going to enter the world, all right? And because of sin, many people and many nations are going to struggle, and they're going to suffer. But God would give us a way out, a temporary way out, amen? And that temporary way out would work for about a millennia, okay? At least at some level. God has always given us a way out, okay? God always gives us a way out. But today, Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Amen? He's the only way to heaven. And on that road to Damascus, Paul would meet this Jesus. Amen? He's going to meet him. And he would tell them in verse 2, he'd say, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." Now, that's not to say that Paul wasn't smart. Paul was a very smart man. Amen? In fact, he was beyond smart, okay? Especially when it came to theological knowledge. He had been taught and trained by some of the best teachers in his day, including Gamaliel, amen, a highly respected rabbi and Pharisee of the first century. Everybody knew who he was. Everybody knew his pedigree. In fact, what Paul meant was that despite of everything he knew and the pedigree he had of learning, he was going to forget it all. He was going to forget everything, amen, and he was going to focus on one thing, okay, and that one thing, what's that one thing? Jesus Christ. Amen. And whenever the pastor asks you a question, 9 times out of 10, the answer is going to be Jesus Christ. Amen. All right? Jesus Christ and him crucified. Okay? Paul could speak of and answer all questions about God and about the church, but all that meant nothing, okay, when it came to Paul's preaching. Okay? All that knowledge meant nothing when it came to Paul's preaching. He was sent for one purpose. Okay? And that purpose was to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was his message. Okay? That was God's message. Galatians 6:14 says, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." He was committed. Amen? He was committed. Paul was also saying at the end of his letter to the Galatians that nothing else really mattered but Jesus crucified. Amen? Nothing else mattered. You see, Paul knew that regardless of his education and his accomplishments and his reputation and all those that followed him, it was never going to be about him. It was about God. It's all about God. Amen? It was never about him. This is Billy Graham early in his career, amen, preaching at Cambridge in 1955. For three nights, He tried to make it academic and enlightened, but it had no effect. And, Graham finally realized that presenting the intellectual side of faith was not his gift, okay? That was not his gift. So he began preaching the simple message, once again, of Jesus rescuing us from our problems with sin. Amen? And Foster wrote, "The results for him were astonishing. Hundreds of sophisticated students responded to this clear presentation of the gospel. It was a lesson in clarity and simplicity that Billy Graham never forgot." Amen? That he never forgot. Billy Graham, just like Paul the Apostle, would preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he would make a career. No, Billy Graham would make a life out of it, a long life of presenting the gospel. And you know why? Because no matter how great your wisdom or your words are, if the message is not about Christ and him crucified, your message is going to save no one. Amen? It'll save nobody. Because your words of wisdom do nothing. It's the Spirit of God that saves. Amen? It's the Spirit of God. In verse 3, he says, I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. Right? He came in weakness, but he was still strong. Okay? Because remember what he said in 2 Corinthians 12:9. He said, "But he," talking about Jesus, "said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness.'" Amen? "Therefore," he said, "I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses as so that Christ's power may rest on me." It's the same for all of us. Amen? In our weakness, he is strong. Paul knew that less of him meant more of Jesus. Right? Less of him meant more of Jesus. It meant that he would have strength, not only in his preaching, but in his life, in his testimony. As pastors and preachers, a lot of times we fall short. Amen? We fall short, but we press on as if it's all well, because we know also that in our weakness, the Lord shows up and he takes over and he is strong. Let's praise God for that. Amen? Because that's for all of us. Amen? Let's praise God for that. He goes on in verse 4, he says, "My message and preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. I thank God," amen, "that I don't have to rely on my own power and my own wisdom to change the heart of people." That's up to Jesus, amen? That's not what I have said. Or done, but what Christ has done that saves. Amen? It's not about me. Paul would recognize that it wasn't about him either. Amen? He knew. But the Spirit of God is the thing that changed lives through him, in him, and through him. Amen? And so, when he says the demonstration of the Spirit, he's referencing the Trinity once again. Okay? This is talking about the Trinity. And people say, "There's nothing about the Trinity in the Bible." Yeah, right. There's a lot of things. The word Trinity may not be in there, but this is speaking of the Trinity. Amen? And what's the Trinity? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. And they're each one in the same God. Okay? Each one, but nonetheless, they are three separate persons. Okay? And that's who we're talking about today. God has sent his son Jesus to save his people. And when that task was completed and the Lord had risen again at the ascension, he would send that Spirit. He would send the Holy Spirit. Amen? John 14, 26 says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, and he will remind you of everything I said to you." Thank God somebody's going to remind me because I'll probably forget. Amen? He would send the Advocate, okay, the Holy Spirit, because he knew we were going to need his help, right? He knew that. In fact, he would send it in a way that he could live in all those who believe. How amazing is that, right? God lives in you. You see, if we're going to live in the way God has called us to live while we're still in this flesh, we cannot and should not do it alone. God doesn't expect us to do it alone. God would send the Holy Spirit, not just because he loved us, but so that we would have no excuse. Amen. We have no excuse when we receive the Spirit of God. I painted this picture this week for you guys just to put it down. I'm just kidding. No, I didn't. I'm not a painter, okay? But the painting is part of what I'm going to tell you. God made it possible for us to live in his will by sending his Holy Spirit upon us, right? By sending his Holy Spirit, and thanks be to God for that. Paul's message was about a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit, right? All messages, salvation messages, should be about a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. So that your faith, he says in verse 5, might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. God's power. It's not about a sales pitch by the pastor or eloquent talk. It's about telling people the truth. Amen? And giving them Jesus. Because that's what the world needed then, and that's definitely what the world needs today. We need Jesus. Amen? I zoomed this picture way out so you guys can't tell who's preaching, okay? But there are many preachers today, okay, that are drawing crowds by the thousands, okay? Even tens of thousands at times. But are they preaching the truth? Are they preaching Christ and him crucified? They can lead in with the greatest worship teams, right? The greatest worship teams, preparing your hearts for the message. They can tell great stories about their families or experiences or victories. They can preach in some of the grandest stages and buildings in the country. But if they're preaching about a religion rather than a relationship, they're wasting their time and your time. Amen? Our message should be in the power of God, not in the power of the preacher. Amen? In the power of God. He goes on, verse 6, he says, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that's been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Right? Paul here is speaking of the mature and the immature believers, okay? In verse 6. You see, an immature Christian will not always be able to receive the message. Amen? In fact, there are times when they're not ready for what we call the meat of God's word. Amen? There are times when they're still baby Christians on the milk of God's word. Now, some Christians who have been in the church for a long time, amen, should be mature, but they're not. We were talking about this yesterday in our men's group. They're just punching their ticket sometimes. Amen? They're not in a real relationship. They're just punching their ticket. And so the mature, they will recognize God's word. Amen? And they'll have discernment of God's word. But verse 6 says that he will speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. And in verse 8, he also says that none of these, there's the word again, rulers would understand the message, okay? Because if they had understood it, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus, right? Now, by the rulers of this age, I'm sure he is speaking of the leaders, the political leaders also of that time, amen? Maybe even some of the evil rulers of that time, okay? But remember, it says they would come to nothing, right? Those who don't have Christ, those who don't have the Spirit of Christ in them and are leading countries and the world, they will come to nothing someday if they don't come to Christ. Amen? The day of Jesus had come, and the bottom line was that the rulers of that age failed to recognize God's wisdom. They failed. Now, why did they fail? Well, in verse 7 it says, we declare God's wisdom a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our Lord glory before time began. Before time began. That's a long time ago, right? So let's look at this word mystery, okay? Back then, the word mystery meant something a little bit different than it does today, okay? Back then, mystery in the biblical sense meant that it was a mystery that you would have to, that you would have never known until somebody revealed it to you, okay? A mystery that needed to be revealed to you. So Paul says that this secret or this mystery is now being revealed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, by the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? Paul says they are speaking a mystery wisdom of Jesus Christ, which God ordained before the age of glory. Amen? There they are, right? And that none of the rulers of that age could understand it. Amen? Because if they had, they wouldn't have crucified the Savior of the world. But little did they know that they were actually helping us. Amen? They were helping Jesus to accomplish what God had also ordained before time began. You see, Paul was not just trying to teach the deity of Jesus Christ. It is just that his heart had taken up in writing that had they known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord. He couldn't believe it either. Amen? Now, who is the Lord of glory here? 9 times out of 10, it's going to be Jesus, right? Right. And so what is Paul calling Jesus by this time? The Lord of glory, right? The Lord of glory. Do you believe that Paul would call him by this title if he didn't believe that he was God? No. He knows he's God. Amen? This title, Lord of glory, is for God and the Trinity of God. Amen? It was inconceivable that Paul would give this title to anyone but God himself. Right? The Lord of glory. And so this wisdom that was hidden from these rulers of this age, it had to be revealed to somebody, right? Right? If they couldn't receive it, somebody had to. And the next verses are going to tell us who, okay? Verse 9 says, however, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Paul starts this section by quoting out, it's a passage from Isaiah 64. Amen? And this passage is actually a prophecy of Jesus Christ being revealed to them, amen, by the Holy Spirit of God, okay? You know, before the time of Jesus, if we had heard these kind of prophecies and promises, we could never have even come close, okay, to guessing what a great gift awaited all believers then and forever, amen? We wouldn't have even been able to comprehend it anyways if we could understand it, amen? Even David and Moses, as much as they did know and were loved by God, could not even begin to understand what it was going to be like to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even now, as Paul reveals this message, he's saying you have to believe and receive the Spirit in order to understand the deep things of God. Okay? He tells them right there in verse 10, he said, these things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. Okay? By His Spirit. This is a reminder that regardless of the messenger, only the Holy Spirit can reveal the wisdom of God to us. Doesn't matter who's delivering the message, amen? Because that knowledge is unattainable by human wisdom, okay? Even Billy Graham couldn't deliver the gospel without the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, right? Right? As good as he was, amen? And that is because, like verse 11 says, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. No one. And what anyone in all of time knows about God in truth has to be communicated to us through the Holy Spirit. It's the only way we're going to receive it. Amen? Sherlock Holmes, Magnum PI, and TMZ all together, okay, could not reveal the wisdom of God without the assistance of the Spirit of God. Okay? And I don't watch TMZ, by the way. I'm just saying. Even the greatest minds of all time, okay? Plato, Aristotle, and Socrates, they couldn't reveal it to us without the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't matter about their knowledge, amen? Only the Spirit of God knows the mind of God. Paul's saying that you can guess what God is thinking, just like you can guess what anybody else is thinking, but you'll never know until they tell you, okay? You'll never know. And if you think you can read minds, then you're some kind of sorcerer, maybe, which is detestable to God. Amen? Or you're my wife, who was in no way detestable to God. She didn't like the joke either, but anyway. She can read your mind, though. he goes on, verse 12. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught us by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. Paul was saying that this wisdom comes from the teachings of God. That's the only way you're going to get it, amen? Not from even the greatest teachers in the world. There's not even a comparison. You can't even compare them. Amen? And that every believer, all of us as believers, have full access to this spiritual wisdom. Amen? It's right here in the Bible. Amen? Full access. We all have full access. That doesn't mean that we each receive the same amount of spiritual wisdom, because we're all on different paths and different walks and different strengths in our relationship with God. Amen? But we will receive the basics of the Christian message. Amen? Attain enough to understand the human wisdom or the godly wisdom of God that will save us. Amen? Because we cannot save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves, period. Okay? Even Charles Spurgeon, Billy Graham, and Martin Luther needed the Holy Spirit in order to receive God's wisdom. Okay? Everybody. And at the end of verse 13, it says, explaining spiritual realities with spiritual taught words. That means explaining spiritual things, okay, to spiritual people, right? Meaning that they must also be believers in order to want to receive the message in the first place, okay? You have to believe, amen? And the last three verses, we're going to compare believers to non-believers, okay, as receivers of this message that is Christ crucified, a testimony of the Spirit. So he goes on in verse 14, he said, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments, for who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the minds of Christ. So first he says the person without the Spirit, right? That is a person who thinks that this is all there is. Okay? that this is all there is. This life is all there is. And they don't accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. An atheist, okay, does not believe that we have a soul. Okay, this is all there is. Amen? Therefore, they can't receive the Spirit. With that mindset, they'll never be able to receive the Spirit. Now, we're going to get into something here, and don't get mad at me, okay? Now, an animal, okay, we all have pets, right? An animal really does not have a soul. They have no soul. So as much as you wish there was a doggy or kitty cat heaven, there isn't. I'm sorry. Amen? There is not. They cannot discern, okay? They can't discern. They're carnal, okay? They can't discern to receive the Spirit, okay? I know, I'm sorry, but it's sad. But I'm just keeping it real, okay? They have no soul. Because you see, animals are carnal, okay? They're concerned about material things, okay? Physical needs. There's no spiritual life for an animal. It all revolves around food and biting me every day. At least for me, anyways. That's Smokey, okay? But he's getting better. I promise, babe, he's just a puppy, okay? He's getting better. But all that to say, okay, that same material-only level that animals have, okay, is how we start our lives, too, okay? It's how we start our lives as babies. We're just, you know, we just need the bottle and we need our mamas and, right? It's just about material things, amen? And God is not mad about the natural life, okay? I mean, we do have to live here, at least for a short period of time, amen? But to stay at that level, I'm sorry, and not learn to love the God that created us means that you're going to miss the whole meaning of life, right? We have to receive the Spirit. The promises that God made to all of us come through the Spirit. The person without the Spirit does not or cannot accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They are more concerned with the things of this world, okay? Because they are of this world. In fact, it even says they regard the things of God as foolishness, right? How sad is that, right? It even says that if they wanted to understand it, they couldn't do it. Because they don't have the Spirit. They're without the Spirit of God. So let us pray for those, okay, who are without the Spirit. Because they don't have to stay that way. Amen? Let us pray for those who are without the Spirit, and let us continue to be a witness to them of the Spirit and what the Spirit has done in our lives. Amen? So how about the person with the Spirit, okay? Verse 15, he says, that person makes judgment about all things, but is not subject to human judgment or those without the Spirit. Because as he says in verse 16, they cannot know the mind of the Lord as to instruct him, because we have the mind of Christ. The world cannot tell us anything about our salvation. Amen? The Spirit of God has told us all we need to know. We are not of this world. We are different. We can spiritually discern the mind of the Lord through the Spirit and the mind of the Christian through the fellowship we have in the body of Christ. Amen? That's a gift of God. My friends, this message today is all to say that there's a great difference between the person with the Spirit and the person without. And that difference should be obvious to everyone. Amen? They should be able to see the light of Christ in you. If you've given your life to Jesus, then proclaim it. Let people know. Amen? Walk in it. Testify to it. Don't live or perceive as if you're not saved, if you're saved. Go out and live it. Share it and tell it from the mountaintops. Amen? Yell it out. Be the voice of God that the Lord has called you to be, because the time is short. And we're all going to spend eternity somewhere. Amen. So, like Olga's shirt says, or sweat hoodie says, go and sin no more. Amen. And be a walking testimony of the Spirit of God. All right? Be a walking testimony. God's love and peace and power be with you all. Amen. 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 Let's give God a hand. All right? All right? And thank Him. Thank Him that He allows us to live in His will. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You, Lord, for this message. And we thank You, Lord, for the promise that You have made to each of us through Your word and through Your will and through Your Spirit. Father God, we pray for all those out there who are lost and haven't received Your Spirit yet. We pray that they see the light and find their way to You. Father God, we lift up all of our friends and family who are struggling today. We pray for peace. We pray for deliverance. We pray for hope. Lord, we thank You for this wonderful house of Yours that we get to come and congregate in and listen to Your word and worship You. We thank You for the church. Lord, we give You all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.